Nedbank Financial Institutions Regulatory Authority, NBFIRA, contributes to the financial stability of the local economy by regulating and supervising the non-bank financial institution sector, which comprises of the following industries: capital markets, insurance, medical aid, lending activities, retirement fund industries, as well as virtual asset service providers. NBFIRA fosters, amongst others, the safety and soundness of regulated entities, the reduction and deterrence of financial crime, as well as consumer protection. Join me now, Tlasela, on The Business Crawl, the show that unpacks business, policy, investment opportunities, and trade on Gaps FM at 1330 hours to 1400 hours Central Africa time, powered by the Non-Bank Financial Institutions Regulatory Authority, NBFIRA.
All right, it's Gabs FM, Power to Engage Your World. Good afternoon, my name is Dolo Mack, and you are on The Business Crawl, powered by NBFIRA. Riding solo today, my co-host, partner, Neo Tlhaselo, will be back next week. But getting into it, she is with us in spirit.
The Non-Bank Financial Institutions Regulatory Authority, NBFIRA, is undertaking a public education initiative to achieve the objectives, which is educating the public on its mandate, financial education, industry regulatory and supervisory developments. Today's session focuses on educating the public on the regulated insurance industry and the insurance administrative rules called policyholder protection rules. Today we unpack what insurance is and how it works. We describe the size and scope of the insurance industry, how the PPRs empower consumers of insurance products and services.
Of course, we cannot do this alone. We are joined by Senior Analyst, Regulatory Services Insurance, Mrs. Kopano Mokele. We welcome you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Dalamek, and good afternoon to your listeners.
We're also joined by the Head of Communications and International Affairs, Mayor Bua Ntebele. Good afternoon to you too. We welcome you.
Good afternoon, Dollar Mike, and a good afternoon to your listeners.
Thank you so much for taking time and joining us. I think straight to our conversation, and we'll start with you, Bua. Please take us through a brief session of what NBFIRA does, the mandate.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dollar Mike. NBFIRA is a regulator mandated to regulate the non-bank financial institution sector. And so this sector comprises of quite a number of industries. These include insurance, the medical aid industry, capital markets, which is where all your investments happen, the lending activities industry, and this is comprised of our pawn shops and micro lenders and so forth. The retirement funds industry, which is your pension funds and fund administrators. And then most recently, our mandate has been expanded to include virtual asset businesses. So that is the extent of the scope of the NBFI sector. And NBFIRA regulates really for to achieve an overarching goal, which is to contribute to the stability of the local financial system.
All right. I think that is said well. Let's have you, Mayor Mokele, tell us take us through insurance and how it works. How would you define it? What is it, and how does it work?
Okay, thank you. Insurance is a contractual agreement between an insurance company and a policyholder, and in this agreement, a policyholder makes specific payments called premiums, or periodic payments called premiums, in exchange of a compensation in the event that the insured risk occurs. Ke gore ha nka ibua ka Setswana, ke tumelano magareng ga modimoreki le company ya insurance. And mo tumelanong e, go dumelanwa gore, for lack of a Setswana word, gore go khabariwa kotsi efe kana phatsa efe. And modimoreki o tla ba a duela madi a a dumelaneng, and bontsi jwa nako e nna kgwedi le kgwedi. Gore fa kotsi eo e ka diragala, company ya insurance e be e mo duelela ditshenyegelo tse di bakileng ke kotsi eo. In a nutshell, that is what insurance is. And there are two broad types of insurance. That is general insurance and life insurance. And these two are better explained through indicating what they cover. I will start with general insurance. General insurance policies, they provide cover against risk pertaining to assets. I'll use assets because that is what is, should I say, commonly covered. And by assets, we mean your movable, your immovable assets, and your motor vehicles. But the classes under general insurance, there are a few more classes. It also includes accident and guarantee. And we have them all listed under the Insurance Industry Act. But this is just to give, you know, an example, an appreciation of what general insurance is. And another key characteristic about this type of insurance is that it is renewable and commonly every 12 months. So that is general insurance. Now moving on to life insurance. Life insurance policies, they cover against risks pertaining to life events. By life events, I mean such as death or retirement, you know, just to mention two. Mm-hmm. And I'll give the common examples of those well-known. They are the funeral covers, the annuity policies, and the investment policies. So it is very important to know that cover commences after payment of premiums, and that non-payment of premiums leads to the ceasing of cover, or it leads to cover stopping. It is therefore very important responsibility on the part of the policyholder to ensure that their premiums are always paid and paid on time. However, the Insurance Industry Act provides a grace period of 30 days, and this means that for existing policies, the policyholder has up to 30 days to pay an outstanding premium before cover ceases, and this is only for policies that have already been running. Yes.
All right. And Bua, can you tell us briefly about the size of insurance industry and the market players that are involved?
Absolutely, Dolomite. The insurance industry is huge, to say the least. It consists of approximately 240 or so regulated entities.
Wow.
And the amount of business underwritten by these entities was, according to our 2021 annual report, about 5.6 billion. So it is a very significantly large industry. And in addition to that, it is an industry that most of us, or if not all of us, interact with on some level or other. As you're well aware, as my colleague mentioned, you know, we have funeral insurance cover, which is very common. We have different types of insurance covers. So most of us will find ourselves interacting with this industry at some point in time. Now, when it comes to industry players, we have a few which I'd just like to elaborate on. We have what we call insurers. These are the actual insurance companies that provide insurance cover to clients. And then we have what we call reinsurers. And these are insurance companies that provide insurance cover for the actual insurance company, so not directly to members of the public. Yes. And then the third category, we have what we call insurance intermediaries. These consist of brokers and corporate agents. So let me just unpack brokers first. So brokers are intermediaries who help clients to source the most suitable type of insurance coverage in line with the client's needs. So they will help the client shop around, and also help them process claims when that time comes. It's important for listeners to be mindful that brokers are not your insurer. So they are not the ones that provide insurance coverage for you. They just simply help you obtain insurance cover. And then the second group of intermediaries, we have what we call corporate agents, or more commonly known as insurance agents. Now, insurance agents work for a particular insurance company, and they sell the product of that particular insurance company. So unlike a broker, they do not present you with a wide variety of insurance products from different insurance companies. So they only will sell you or present to you the insurance product from that company that they work for. It's also important for our listeners to be aware that the Insurance Act stipulates that corporate agents may only represent two insurance companies at any given time. So an agent can come to and present products from one life insurance company and one general insurance company. So they can't come to you and present, you know, products beyond that scope. Yes.
Now, still with you, Bo, what are the policy protection rules and what do they aim to achieve?
Sure. The policyholder protection rules are a set of rules that were introduced by NBFERA. As I mentioned in our introduction, one of NBFERA's mandates is a responsibility to protect consumers. And so in line with this, NBFERA saw it fit to introduce policyholder protection rules in 2019. And these rules are applicable to all insurance entities and intermediaries. Policyholder protection rules essentially require two key things that we'd like our listeners to be mindful of. Firstly, they require that consumers be provided with sufficient information in order to make an informed decision before purchasing an insurance product. That's the first thing. The second thing, they also require that the parties involved, so the prospective client or policyholder, as well as the intermediary and insurer, that all the parties involved in the business transaction must conduct business in a fair manner and with due care. The whole idea of policyholder protection rules is to promote effective information disclosure. There's a responsibility for this on both the consumer as well as the insurer. They both have responsibilities that are outlined. And my colleague will touch on that in our discussion later on. And the PPRs also promote consumer education, because as the insurer or the person selling the insurance product presented to you, they have to adequately inform you about it, the terms and conditions, and the ramifications of you entering into that contract. Yes.
Remember, if you just joined us, you are on the Business Crawl powered by NBFERA.
The Non-Bank Financial Institutions Regulatory Authority, NBFERA, is undertaking a public education initiative to achieve the objectives, which is educating the public on its mandate, financial education, industry regulatory and supervisory developments. Today's session focuses on educating the public on the regulated insurance industry and the insurance administration rules called policyholder protection rules. Today, we unpack what insurance is and how it works. We describe the size and scope of the insurance industry, how the PPRs empower consumers of insurance products and services.
All right, if you just joined us, we're in conversation with a senior analyst, regulatory services, insurance, Mayor Kopano Mokela. Also, Mayor Buan Tebele, head of communications and international affairs. Now back to you, Mayor Kopano. Can you kindly give us examples of the PPRs that empower consumers of insurance products and services?
Absolutely. The policyholder protection rules, they cover a broad range of topics. However, for this interview, I will touch on information disclosure, the cooling off period, valuation of assets at renewal stage, and signing of blank forms. I will start with information disclosure. With regards to information disclosure, the rules require for certain information to be disclosed. And the requirement is on both the policyholders and the insurance companies. They both have an obligation to disclose information that is relevant to the policy about to be entered into. I'll give examples of information to be disclosed by policyholders. Some insurance policies, they require that a policyholder discloses their lifestyle habits. For example, whether one is a smoker or not. Some may require one to disclose certain illnesses, if they have chronic illnesses or not, or even their claims history. This is important because it goes into the risk assessment of the individual or the asset about to be insured, and it informs the insurance company as to whether that is the type of risk they are able to take or not, and if they are willing to take that risk, how to price it. Depending on this information. So as I mentioned, it ensures that your risk is adequately covered. You are not underinsured or overinsured. And another example, or rather of information that should be disclosed by insurers this time, is that insurers have the obligation to disclose their details. the details of who the insurance company is or the intermediary is that is selling the policy to you, or even the individual agent, you know, their names, their details, their contact details, and whom the corporate agent represents. Thereafter, the prospective for policyholder has information to even either call the insurance intermediary or insurance company that the individual has said to be coming from to actually confirm that they are the representative. And with regards to information on the entities being either the insurance company, the broker, or the corporate agent, disclosure of the details also gives the policyholder the right to actually call and be fair to confirm if this particular entity has actually been licensed by NBFERA. Another important piece of information is the terms and conditions of the policy. They have to be disclosed because that is what will help the policyholder determine whether this is the kind of cover that will cover the need or not. For example, some policies have a maximum age limit for either acquiring or entering into the policy. That is, there is a certain age. I'll give an example. Let's say 70. If you're 70 years or above, you cannot buy cover for the first time or be covered for the first time. So examples, this is common in funeral covers. So as you can see, that's an important piece of information so that you can know if the kind, the people, your family members that you want to cover, you know, they meet the criteria of cover or not.
Mm-hmm.
Another example is the territorial limits of cover. Some policies provide cover within certain territories. So that as well is a piece of information that can help you determine if that cover will fulfill your needs or not. And another one is behaviors that leads to no cover. Some policies do not provide cover, for example, when one was under the influence of alcohol or when one failed to report an accident to the police within a prescribed time period, you know, so on and so forth. So that's information that is important so that when a policyholder gets to decide, yes, I want this product, then they are well informed. I will move on to the cooling off period. The cooling off period, simply, I'll start off by saying after acquiring an insurance policy, the policyholder has to be given a policy document, a policy schedule, and a policy document. The policy schedule contains the details of the policy bought, that is, the name of the policy, the name of the insurance company, the sum insured or assured, and the name of the policyholder, you know, just to mention a few, the details, you know, of the cover. The policyholder is encouraged to ensure that these details are captured properly or accurately as it is proof, you know, of the cover that you have purchased. And then the policy document. The policy document is a document that contains all the terms and conditions of the policy. It is through the policy document that the policyholder gets to confirm through the terms and conditions if the policy functions in the manner that was communicated prior. Mind you, prior to purchasing an insurance product, there is a conversation between the prospective policyholder and the individual who is selling, right? So everything is communicated verbally. So the policy document, when it comes, every term and condition, everything that you agreed on, you know, has to be captured in the policy document. And after receipt of this document, the policyholder has 30 days to read through the document and confirm that the policy is as expected or as was agreed and decide, you know, if they want to continue with the policy or not. And if the policyholder decides against the policy, they're allowed to cancel the policy within these 30 days, provided that no claim has been paid. And the policyholder will also be entitled to their premiums back. And mind you, provided that no claims had been paid. This period is called the cooling off period. Yes. So in view of what I've just said, it is very important that after, you know, buying a policy, policyholders should insist on receiving their policy documents and schedules.
Okay. Makes absolute sense. Anything else?
Yes. The next thing I'll move on to is the valuing of assets or revaluing of assets at renewal stage. It is important to know that when presenting one's asset for cover, it is the policyholder's responsibility to present all the information about the asset, right? That is that information disclosure that we were talking about earlier. And the value of the assets, in the case of assets, the value of the assets determines the premium. Among others, it determines the premium you are going to pay, you know, for that asset. So as mentioned earlier, general insurance covers, which are renewable annually, at the end of 12 months, yes, commonly 12 months, you have to renew the cover. So when you renew the cover, you have to revalue your asset so that the current value is determined and the applicable premium is priced. So you don't just carry on from year to year using the same value that you used, you know, when you entered into the agreement of insurance with an insurance entity. And then the last one is the signing of blank forms. Consumers are encouraged not to sign blank application forms because these forms, they fit into the contractual agreement. It is therefore important that they complete each field of the application form themselves, and one should not sign under pressure or if they do not understand. They should request for the relevant explanation before completing and signing the forms. Thank you.
Yeah, this thing of signing blank forms, I should really stop.
True.
Indeed. Now, in closing, back to you, Boa, where can one access the PPRs and get hold of NBFIRA when in need of further clarity or any other inquiry from your side?
Thank you, Dr. Mac. The PPRs are accessible on the NBFIRA website, which is www.nbfira.org.bw. Our listeners can also get in touch with NBFIRA through our email, which is info@nbfira.org.bw. Alternatively, they could call us at the office on the number 310-2595, 310-2595, and we also encourage them to follow us on our social media platforms.
Thank you to you both for taking time and talking to us about all that we need to know from your side. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dolomite.
All right. That is Gabs FM, Power to Engage Your World Business Crawl at the end. That was powered also by NBFIRA. And thank you to Mekopano Mokele, Senior Analyst and Regulatory Services and Insurance. And then Meboan Tebele, Head of Communications and International Affairs from NBFIRA. Until next week, again on the Business Crawl, my name is Dollar Mac. We continue with Iconic.
The Non-Bank Financial Institutions Regulatory Authority, NBFIRA, contributes to the financial stability of the local economy by regulating and supervising the non-bank financial institution sector, which comprises of the following industries: capital markets, insurance, medical aid, lending activities, retirement fund industries, as well as virtual asset service providers. NBFIRA fosters, amongst others, the safety and soundness of regulated entities, the reduction and deterrence of financial crime, as well as consumer protection. Join me now, Tessel, on The Business Crawl, the show that unpacks business, policy, investment opportunities, and trade on Gaps FM at 1330 hours to 1400 hours Central Africa time, powered by the Non-Bank Financial Institutions Regulatory Authority, NBFIRA.